listening to All the Best. I'm Belinda Lopez. We tell stories about Australia from all over Australia. And sometimes we tell stories from outside Australia. Caitlin Gibson, an Aussie, was headed out on a big African adventure to the Festival of the Desert in Mali. It's where you'll find some of the best music West Africa has to offer, and some of the best among the best are Tuareg musicians. To the Tuareg people, music is as essential as air. They're a nomadic people, and for centuries they've been travelling the Sahara across the national borders of several countries. They spend their days in the sand dunes and their nights in caravans, directed by the stars. And they've long defended what they claim is their own land against several fronts. In the 19th century, they resisted the French. And in the 20th century and into the 21st, they've resisted neighbouring African groups and states, like the Malian government. In 2012, yet another Tuareg rebellion flared up, with rebels trying to gain independence in the northern region of Mali. But amongst all the chaos, things got even more complicated. Islamist militia groups took the opportunity to take control of large parts of the area, installing conservative and sometimes violent forms of Sharia law, including banning music. But a long time before today's news headlines of violence and war, in fact, thousands of years before, music has been central to Tuareg culture. And as Caitlin Gibson found out, in this part of the world, it takes a lot more than that to get rid of music.
This story begins with a fable. This is a story that was told to me by a woman called Disco. Disco, who I found in a Tuareg refugee camp in Burkina Faso, where she lives now, forced out of her home in the desert in northern Mali by the war being fought there.
This story is called Abokabok. It's a very old Tuareg story that I sing. It's the story of my great-great-great-grandfather, a wise man from the big family in the village. He was a leader of our people. He was a Muslim, he didn't eat meat, and hid his face modestly, wrapping up in a turban like we still do. He was a very strong spiritual man. He wanted to only be around his faith and religion, to live purely. But he became too separate from his people. Who would give the blessings at weddings? Who would conduct the ceremonies? Who would offer advice? So one day, the villagers decided they would send for him and convince him to come back. They chose the griot to be the one to go. The griot is the one who knows all the songs of our village, our music and our history. He's the one who has taught all the stories from the past. He holds the Tuareg soul. And the village sent him into the desert to find my grandfather. When he arrived, my grandfather told him, "Music is forbidden. For a Sufi, a devout Muslim like me, music is dangerous. Don't play." If the villagers really needed help, he could take the cows, the camels, the donkey and the sheep. "Take all that you need and leave." But the griot said, "No, I didn't come for your things. I came only to play you my music." And you know that in our culture, once a musician starts to play, you're not allowed to ask him to stop. You cannot refuse a griot. So he played, and my grandfather sat and tried to keep reading his Quran. On and on the griot played, and then my grandfather began to tremble. Then he began to move like this. He dropped his book and then stood. Finally, he began to dance. My grandfather was transformed. In the end, he came back to us. He danced back into our lives.
Al-Waqri Musha.
I really believe what this story says. Our music makes miracles happen. My grandfather was changed by the music, and our music continues to change people. Every time someone hears our music, they too begin to dance. They can't help but dance.
وليتي لما نسلمتني دهالا غورا الانصار الشريفا استفساد انت حسن الكمني.
I'm in the desert just outside of Ouagadougou in Burkina Faso. Until a couple of weeks ago, I was headed to the Festival of the Desert, a music festival I'd heard stories about years ago from an older, wilder family friend. Their stories of Tuareg nomads racing camels over sand dunes, sleeping in leather tents under the desert stars, surrounded by the sounds of some of the best musicians from across West Africa. These images had haunted me for years. The Festival of the Desert was to be the big bang at the end of my dream African adventure. That was until my trip was suddenly swept up in a war breaking out across Mali. Mali had started to fall apart again after tensions between the government and the nomadic Tuareg tribes of the north flared up. Amongst the chaos that followed, with both sides weak, Islamist mercenaries and arms traders had moved in, taking control of large parts of the north of Mali. I was on my way to the festival when I found out it had been cancelled. Stories had started to come out of Timbuktu, the largest, oldest city in northern Mali, of ancient mosques, libraries, and concert halls being bulldozed to the ground by Islamists who believed the local people did not practice Islam correctly. Musicians were being targeted, the festival organizers themselves threatened, rumors and threats were circulating that any musician caught playing would have every finger that touched an instrument cut off. Soon, any of my own disappointment, personal and petty disappointment at being denied part of my own African adventure, became totally overshadowed by stories of the musicians who had fled the violence to refugee camps in the south. I'd come all this way, and I decided I was going to follow the musicians to the Tuareg refugee camp just outside of Ouagadougou, close to the Burkina Faso border. The night I arrived, a concert was starting in the town to raise money for the incoming refugees, people that arrived with nothing. They'd have to wait up to a month before they could be registered by the UN and be able to receive a tent and food. And in the meantime, the rest of the camp took care of them. The women were all still dressed in bright, beautiful long fabrics, heavy with jewelry, bangles, long earrings, and dark eyes. The men were tall and thin, and wearing the blue turbans they used to cover the lower half of their face once they're married. In and I noticed her immediately. She was tall and imposing in a red turban and draped in a fabulous red dress covered with shining gold sequins. She was one of those people that lit up the room. Everyone entering would make a point to come and greet her. This woman was Disco. She is one of the best known musicians from Mali. She's toured Europe and America, performing in festivals with her band Tartit. But here, she was in a refugee camp with her children. Disco had agreed to meet with me again, and this morning when I arrive, she is sitting on the ground, on cushions and rugs, outside surrounded by women from the camp. They're swapping stories, news from home, of those that had stayed, those that had left, and of those they had no news at all. The women fell into long, sad silences, which were then broken by sudden warm outbursts of laughter. After we had been sitting for a while together, drinking tea, I begin to ask her questions. With the violence and the war pushing her people out of Mali and her culture, her music, under threat, I begin by asking how important music was to her despite everything.
It's the joy of the Tuareg people. The most important thing for me is music. It's my therapy. It's one of those things that puts you at ease, makes you feel good, you're happy, you dance, you sing. It's the only thing we have in the desert. We don't have a TV, we don't have a radio. All our activities revolve around our poetry, our music. Tuareg music, it is the culture. Music is also our story, because there are songs that talk about our history. We don't have books, so it's the songs, the poetry, and the music that keeps our culture alive.
Disco wasn't always Disco, the internationally recognized musician. She was born Fadimata Wale Ouma, and her life has been marked by a series of violent Tuareg rebellions in northern Mali, each one uprooting her family and completely disrupting her life for years at a time.
But in 1990, the Tuareg rebellion exploded. This was the first rebellion that I lived through. The fighting started, and like all the civilians, I was forced to leave. I went to Mauritania first and then to Italy. As soon as we could, we came back to Mali. But only 2 years after the peace agreement, there was another rebellion. More violence, everyone was still so exhausted, but we were again obliged to leave our homes and enter refugee camps in Mauritania. When we came here, I began to work with other women to create an association called Terranit, to help the women here in the refugee camps, to help them access education and work, training programs, things like this. That's where I met a woman. She worked for an NGO who told us, I'd like to invite a group of four Tuareg women to a music festival in Belgium called The Voice of Women. I wanted to do this. I was inspired to use it to get out of the camp and to tell other people of our culture. But as I told her, this sort of thing, a group of four or five women who play just together, this doesn't really exist. For us, music is made when everyone in the camp comes together to celebrate. There's never a small group only playing by themselves, we celebrate together. But I chose four women from my village, dancers and singers, and with Amanu as the guitar player. He's the griot from my village. We went to the festival and it felt like a miracle. It was such a great success. A promoter from Europe who was there saw us play and wanted to organize a tour for us through Europe. And it just happened like that. The recordings, the tour, everything followed that. Tatip performs to preserve our traditions. In reality, however, well, with everyone, our people, we were living in refugee camps and we were thinking really only to save our culture, to keep it going, alive, important. I actually think our group Tatit is the only group to tour Europe that really represented Tuareg culture, made the music as it sounds in the desert.
For the festival in the desert this year, the band was going to perform with a full stage of over 20 women, dancers, drummers, and all. Instead, Her home has fallen under the control of bands of conservative Islamic militia. Disco, like all Tuareg people, found herself in the middle of a dangerous war. Instead of singing at the festival, she was still here, waiting. I asked what it felt like to be silenced by people who believe that music is not a true part of Islamic life and has no place in a future life in Mali.
I'm a Muslim myself. We all are, have always been. But ever since I've grown up, we've always sung. I can't understand it, because for me, songs and music without it, I mean, that's life. We cannot live in a country where people tell us we can't have music. I can't accept that. We prefer to leave, we prefer to die. Music is our culture. When we don't have music, we cannot survive. Without that, when you're not singing, what's important then? I mean, that's life. We really don't have any other activity. We don't have anything else. What reason would we have to come together? The young people, the old people, for women to dress up beautifully, to come and dance.
In her home in Mali, musicians are invited to celebrations for every stage of life, to weddings, births, welcomed into homes, and then woven into the social life of their village. But in a life of exile, the cause for celebrations have become few. Disco, like all refugees I've spoken to here, seems to be counting the days until she can return, but no one knows when that will be. As the conflict evolves and changes, their lives remain hanging in suspense.
It's total misery. It's total misery.
Really, something we're not used to. Everyone living all together, so close, your mother, husbands, family, eating together, all lined up under the sun. It's catastrophic. For us, it's dishonorable. To have to live so close to one another and expose yourself like that, to have no privacy or freedom. Oh, it's miserable. There is just sun, dust, it's hot. And there's nothing. We're all just under the tents, plastic, under the sun all day. And they don't have a sufficient amount to eat. Nothing. It's total misery. But what else can they do? Because we are messengers of God, and we must do what God demands for us. We must take it to heart and try not to fall down.
We had been speaking for a long time when Disco became quiet and then began to sing softly. It was a woman's song, telling an old story, the sad story of women left alone and unable to protect themselves, calling out across the dunes to their men, lost in a desert fighting, calling them back to them. يا سناه رحوها كل هراء أنا حوها إن أنجال لنا حوها حتى عبرتنا حوها حم أحا حي حا أحوها حوها حم. The next morning I left the city and cut across the hot white dusty desert to the UN refugee camp. I wanted to visit Amanu, the musician who plays with Disco in Tartit. He plays the Tuareg instrument called the Tehadzant, something of a guitar but made from ebony and camel skin and with only four long cotton strings. He's from the same village as Disco, his family is as old, and has always been the holders of their songs. It was his great-great-great-grandfather that brought Disco's ancestor back to the village with music. I enter Amanu's tent and I meet his young wife, large and loud and draped in light pink fabric. The other women were already inside, sitting on mats on the floor, and I sat with them, watching them talking while they fed their young children. waiting while she went to call for Aminu. Aminu is tall and thin, like many Tuareg men, with light eyes and a strong, thin face. He carried in his guitar, the Tehadan, and sat down with us in a rough circle to begin to play. As the music played on, Aminu's tent filled up. People hearing the music, the singing and the clapping would poke their heads into the entrance of the tent and be invited to join us. Within half an hour, Aminu's tent was full of people clapping and dancing along. Then Mama Disco enters. Then Mama Disco enters.
Mama Disco.
She is, I find out, Disco's elderly aunt. She enters like a whirlwind, a mini whirlwind. She is as tiny as Disco is tall. But like her niece, she dominates the room. She introduces herself to me in her toothless, smiling French, and I have to bend down to kiss her wrinkled face. She wears big black glasses, broken in the center and taped together, sitting cross-legged on the floor right up next to me. She holds my hand and begins to tell her story. It's the story of a Tuareg woman who has spent her life, her long life, moving through the deserts of Mauritania, Algeria, Libya, Mali, and now Burkina Faso. And then the men started clapping, calling for Mama Disco to dance. She closes her eyes and begins to move, still seated, swaying her arms, her hands, her shoulders. She dances slowly and elegantly, precisely and contained. Earlier, one of the women had joked with me that the other ethnic groups in Mali thought the Tuareg dance too slow, the dance of a lazy people. But that to them, this dance was noble and expressed grace. I think then I understood that the music of the Tuaregs can never be silenced. It gives them strength, even if it's part of the reason why they can't go home. And as it was for Disco's great-great-great-grandfather, as it is for the Tuaregs in this refugee camp, it's music that takes them back to their home, to their village. If only for a moment, and if only while this song plays and these people dance.
That piece was produced by Caitlin Gibson. If you want to see photos of the refugee camps Caitlin visited and Mama Disco in the flesh and other musicians, head to our website, allthebestradio.com. Hey. All the Best is produced at FBI Radio Sydney, now in association with Radio Adelaide, 4ZZZ in Brisbane and SYN in Melbourne. Our show is played across Australia on the Community Radio Network and is made possible by the Community Broadcasting Foundation. Today's show was, of course, produced by Caitlin Gibson. Thank you to Jordana Caputo for providing voiceovers of Disco, Miles Martignoni for additional training, and Danielle Gessler for translations from French to English. Also, thank you to Mahmoud Agima for his assistance in locating musicians in Burkina Faso. I'm the features executive producer of the show. Our production manager is Carly-Ann Keneally, and our executive producer is Jordana Caputo. See you next week.
Stop.